Welcome to Security Wire Weekly, a CertSecurity.com podcast for September 10th, 2008. In this edition, we'll talk to Yuval Ben-Itzhak of web security vendor Finjan about the state of cybercrime and a new survey that shows many companies are making protection a priority.
When it comes to analyzing a network, protecting enterprise data, or fighting malware, you can plop down thousands of dollars for a commercial product, or you can get tons of great functionality from a free tool. Let CertSecurity.com show you how some of the industry's best free and open source tools work in our exclusive screencast series. Each month, one of CertSecurity.com's best experts will offer a step-by-step video presentation showing you how to use the most powerful tools and software, including Nessus, Snort, UTM, and so much more. And it's all free. Don't wait. Watch and learn today. Visit searchsecurity.com/screencast. That's searchsecurity.com/screencast.
And we're back. Just a few months ago, researchers at web security vendor Finjan uncovered several servers with healthcare, credit card, email, and other sensitive data on thousands of people. Those servers were wide open and available for anybody to see. They've been since shut down, but Finjan Chief Technology Officer Yuval Ben-Itzhak says that the cyber criminals have just moved on to other servers. In this interview, he tells us about the cyber underground, where these criminals sell their stolen goods. And he also shares the results of a new survey that shows that most companies are taking the right steps to protect customer data and intellectual property. Well, Yuval, thanks very much.
Thank you.
So, Yuval, let's go get right into it. We could talk a little bit about the survey, and I also had a few questions from what we've been seeing and what you've been reporting in your quarterly reports. I'd like to get an update from you on the servers that Finjan found wide open with that had Outlook accounts on it, and it had healthcare information on it, even email information on them that obviously were used as part of some sort of harvesting of data. Can you give us an update on, you know, have these been shut down primarily? Are you still coming across more of these servers? And do you anticipate coming across more?
These specific servers, they are shut down. They're no longer available. But the people who operate them, I guess, are still around, and they just moved to another server. And yes, we still find more and more of these servers almost on a daily basis. It's a very successful model for the criminals. They very easily manage to breach data, collect it, and sell it online. So there's no reason they're going to stop doing that. We also see that the tools that they're using are improving almost on a monthly basis. We're getting updates and new versions of the tools. So it's a very dynamic and very active community that is stands behind these type of activities.
Well, I was hoping that we can get into a little bit about the cybercrime economy.
Sure.
And how that's sort of changing a bit as well.
Sure. On the Finjan Q2 trend reports, we provided a very unique piece of evidence, and this is the structure of today's cybercrime organizations. Many of us, understand that it's no longer the kids; it's now the professional hackers. But it has been changed already as well. It's no longer just a professional hacker. Actually, the professional hackers are not doing the crime today; they're just creating the tools for the amateurs to do the crime. But what we found out is that we managed to provide solid evidences using discussions that we had with this type of criminals, how this type of organization is structured. And we structure it in very similar to a mafia structure. There is a boss that controls everyone. It has kind of soldiers that are taking actions, either compromising website or selling data. there are people that's kind of the brain behind it that are developing the tools. It really looks like a mafia, looks like a story, but we managed to provide evidences to confirm that. We managed to speak with these people, and when we spoke with them, they confirmed that they have a boss. And, you know, if someone that we spoke with is saying, no, I'm just selling the data. I don't know how the data was collected, but if you want to know, hey, go speak with this guy. Mm. So we went and spoke to that guy, and he said, yeah, I'm using this tool. I'm collecting the data, and I'm giving it to my boss. Do you want to talk with my boss? It wasn't simple. It took us 2 months just to create this type of a trust and to start these kind of discussions. But at the end of the day, we managed to build or to draw this kind of a hierarchy within the organization. It clearly indicate it's a group of something between 8 to 12 people working together. They might, you know, their physical location or geography can be different. They don't need to be physically in the same room, but they're working together. Each is responsible for a specific piece of the puzzle or piece of the activity that they're doing. They manage to collect tons of data and sell it online.
And at the same time, there probably are people working on the outside as well, right? Phishing, using these automated tools. You can easily rent or buy these tools.
Yeah, they are either buying it or using them as a service. They're doing that to collect consumer data, business data, healthcare data, and the amount of data that we find out there and manage to report, it's really reaching a size that is scary, really scary.
What I thought was interesting was that stolen credit card numbers now and bank accounts are actually not as valuable as some other information.
Correct. This is the supply and demand rules, very simple rules in economics. When everyone has successfully managed to compromise this data and offering for sale, the price goes down. And the fact that they continue to do that, it just indicates there is someone who's buying it. Otherwise, these people will go elsewhere and do something else. But another trend that we found is that these people are now trying to compromise healthcare data. And the reason for that is that they can still, there's not a lot of supply of stolen healthcare data, so they can still sell it for high price rather than go down to the few dollars for a credit card number.
Why is what is so valuable about healthcare data? What can a cyber criminal do with some healthcare related information?
I can have, since I know your medical history, I can have different prescriptions and buy drugs and then sell them online.
I see.
I can do some fraud against insurance companies because I would say, I had this disease and that disease, and I can provide evidences for that. I can, even if I know special information about you, I can call you and say, well, I know you have this and that disease. If you're not going to pay me this amount of money, I'm going to put it on the internet and everyone will know that. I can do a lot of things with stolen healthcare data. And, of course, for the healthcare organization, it's a major breach of the HIPAA, which by itself has a problem.
Mm. This was an online survey that FinGen conducted?
Yeah, that's right. This is an online survey that we ran when we released our Q2 trend reports. We asked the people to fill in this survey. And this report is based on that survey.
Okay. So this could have been, just for all intents and purposes, this could have been anybody that took this survey, right? Or has this been broken down and you know the types of people that have taken the survey?
We know the type of people. We don't know their names, but
right.
We asked them for their title and some background information. And that's what we included in the report as well. So we know the title of the person, the vertical, and some background in their security activities.
So most of these people are very much involved in the security of their organization.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a security community that is downloading the reports from the FinGen's website almost every month. These are the people that fill in the survey. It's not like, you know, someone from the street.
Sure. Yuval, what was the biggest takeaway from the survey?
First, a very positive one. 91% of the respondents stated that cybercrime is a major business risk, and this is something very important to analyze. And the reason for that is most of the time when FinCEN released the reports, we indicated on the type of threats that are out there, how hacker operates, how the cybercrime organization looks like. And the big question is, what the CIOs and the IT security professionals are doing about that? Is it more like an education phase, or they're taking it seriously and trying to change the way that they secure their data? When they rated that cybercrime is a major business risk, unlike just a productivity loss, which they were the second option, that indicated, unlike in the virus days, when your PC got infected and now the employee is not working and IT is spending an hour or two to fix this PC, when we talk about business risk and we highlight it for them that it relates to loss of customers, relates to brand damages, to lawsuits, it indicates that it can turn the business as out of business. So this is the major businesses that they're highlighting here, and not just a temporary productivity issue that they used to have when they got hit by a virus. So this is very important to see that they really understand the problem and understand the magnitude of the problem when they look on cybercrime today.
Now, this probably also breaks down per vertical in terms of what you saw next, in terms of IP, corporate employee information, and then corporate customer information. Customer information came in third there. 47% of respondents said that corporate customer information was a major business concern. Is that because it's, you know, it would be more important to merchants than it would, say, an organization that doesn't accept customer information or use customer information in terms of credit card information?
Yeah, it relates to the verticals. For example, in healthcare, you will find patient medical history as the top of the list. So it relates more to the financial banking sectors that are more customer driven, and of course this is one of the most important piece of information that is important for them. We also looked on the government sector and the healthcare sector. So the way that we presented the report is to give the overall numbers, but then break them down into three different verticals, like the financial, government, and healthcare. And almost every question that we ask, we broke it down into the vertical to see if there are differences, and we certainly found them. So you can see the healthcare caring about their patient, the government care about their what's considered to be IP or internal information. Of course, they don't have customers. And the financial and banking, the customers in top of the list. Go to do.
Right. And this survey was conducted in July.
Yes.
Well, Yuval, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts at our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.